I'm going to have to fight against the chainsaw, aren't I? I don't have a lot of voice, Grant, so you might need to... Yeah. Okay, let's pray, guys. Father God, it's so good that we can be here today, that we can be here as your family. And we just choose to honour you now. Choose to say that we're your kids. And yeah, we just want to learn more about you. We want to grow closer to you each day. Father God, I just ask that you'll use me now to communicate your heart to us, your children. Amen. Okay. So, yeah, just been asking God what he wanted me to share about this morning, and I just wanted to read first, it's just a few sentences with what I thought God said, so it gives you a bit of an idea where we're heading. I believe God said to me that he wanted me to tell you, my children, how close and just how incredibly near God is. Tell my children how I'm calling each of you, and how I'm calling your church to draw near to me. Help your children to hear me wooing them. Help them know how to respond. And ignite in my people a fresh passion for seeking me. Okay, so that's where we're heading today. All right. So, we're just going to have a couple of Bible readings. The first one is Psalm 84. Okay, so this is a psalm of David, and I'm just going to read all of this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home there, and the swallow builds her nests and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. How happy are those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs, where pools of blessing collect after the rains. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God Almighty, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Israel. O God, look with favour upon the King, our protector. Have mercy on the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our light and protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. O Lord Almighty, happy are those who trust in you. Then we're just going to head across to James chapter 4 and read a few verses. James. Okay, so it's James chapter 4. I'm just reading verse 7 to 10. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honour. Okay, so, yeah, God is calling us. He's calling us as individuals and he's calling us as a church to come close to him. And it's a call to greater intimacy and a deeper relationship with him than we've ever had before. No matter where we're at with God, whether we're just starting or whether we've been around for a while, we can always be closer to God, and that's where he wants us to be. And if we look, you know, the more you read of the Word, it's just so good just to get into the Word and read lots and lots of it, because the more you read, the more you begin to understand God's heart about just how much he wants us to be close, how much he wants us in close relationship with him. That's his desire. That's why he's created us, to be close to him. And initially, like in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were in perfect relationship with God before the fall. They walked together with God, they were God's friends. There was nothing hindering. And then, of course, sin came in, and that all got stuffed up. And through the whole Bible is about God's restoration plan so that we can again be close with God. And again in the Bible, God reveals that is his heart. And there's so many Bible verses you can look at. I'm just going to read one from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Funny story about this. A few weeks ago, Matt, I was just reading Revelation, and he comes up, he says, "What's your favourite verse in Revelation, Mum?" I thought, "Oh, well, Matt, I'll have to have a think." He said, "Do you know what mine is?" I said, "Oh, what a great favourite verse in Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 20, Mum." And then he showed me what it was, and I thought, well, if you're going to have a favourite verse in Revelation, this isn't a bad one to have. Okay, so Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." Okay, that's God offering close relationship. Jesus offering close relationship with his children. But yeah, the ultimate evidence of God desiring us to be close is, of course, what Jesus did on the cross. And that is, and forever will be, our way back to a close relationship with God. And just might remember the last couple of weeks, Kev's been just encouraging us just to think about the salvation thing and where we're at with God and that type of thing. And we need to be really sure of our salvation. We need to know that if we die tonight or in an hour, that we're going to be with God. We need to be sure of that. And if we're not, well, we need to deal with that. And I just the thought came to me. We've got to not let pride get in the way of reality. Okay, so even if we've been here doing this stuff for years, if we're not sure deep down, it's more important to sort that out than to look like we know what we're on about. So I just want to leave you with that. But back to the Bible. There's numerous examples in the Bible of people who got it, who understood that God wanted to be close to them. And once these people have drawn close to God, they didn't really want to be anywhere else because it was such a precious thing. And I think David's probably the ultimate example of that. So there in Psalm 84, I'm just going to have a quick little look there again. Like, his whole being, his body and his soul, he just wants to be close to God. He wants to be in that close dwelling place with God. And then he's talking about there about the sparrow and the swallow. Like, even though, to me that says that even the lowly of the low, anyone can find a place dwelling close to God. And then he goes on about how happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And what that says to me is, you know, that determination. We're going to be close to God. We're going to keep walking, even when we're going through the valley of weeping. So the hard bits, we're going to believe that God is going to turn that weeping into the gladness and that we're going to get close to God. It's just that continuing on, growing stronger, appearing before God. And then that beautiful verse in words in verse 10, which of course has been made into the songs, "A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else." You know, David he'd got it. He'd worked out that being close to God was where he wanted to live. And time and time again in the Psalms, he talks about that. But then we all know David was as grotty as the rest of us. But yet his heart was, "I want to be close to God." There's also the verse in Psalm 51 at the end. He says, do not banish me from your presence. You know, don't send me away, God. This is where I want to be. Even though I am as I am, don't banish me from your presence. This is what really matters. Okay. And then, of course, just for Sarah, we have to talk about Moses. She tells me I couldn't talk without talking about Moses, and it's about right. Moses is one of my heroes. I'm looking forward to having a cuppa with Moses one day. Moses was a God chaser. God called him again and again to go up that mountain, not Mount Sinai, to meet with him. And he did it. He kept going up that mountain. Other people didn't want to, but he kept going up that mountain. He met with God. God revealed precious, precious things to Moses, such as the Ten Commandments. You know, God was revealed secrets to Moses while he was there. And being in God's presence up that mountain changed Moses. He came down radiated in God's glory, made him a different person. So it's this idea of God wooing us, but it's us responding. God called Moses up the mountain. He chose, "I'm going to obey. I'm going to go up the mountain." Mountain climbing is never easy. Go chase Mount Kosciuszko one day if you dare. Never easy to get there, but well worth it when you do. Yeah. And Moses, like David, once he'd been near God, he didn't want to be anywhere else. And he actually said in Exodus 33, Moses was pleading with God. He said, "Don't leave us. It's your presence that sets us apart. Don't leave us." Or the way I sort of paraphrase that is, you know, "I only want to be where you are, God. I only want to be doing what you want me to be doing. Don't want to be anywhere else. It's where we want to be." So, yeah, it's that whole Moses thing to me, it just reeks of adventure. You know, we all think about, you know, what adventure is in my life? Where can I go and do this and do that? But I'm getting to think that's probably the ultimate adventure is getting drawing close to God. Just how close to God can we get? Okay, so just as God calls us to draw close, he's also made a way for us to draw close. So we're just going to quickly look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. All right, this is one of these sentences that starts halfway through, but we're just going to accept that today rather than go back, because it's a fairly involved little part of Hebrews. Earlier on, it's talking about how Jesus is greater than Moses and the position of Jesus before God. And then it says in verse 14, "That's why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Excuse me. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations as we do, yet he did not sin." Then verse 16, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it." So Jesus is our great high priest. It's because of him that we can boldly approach God. It's covered in his righteousness. Not the usness. We're never going to be good enough. And to try and appear before God just as us is probably always going to be scary. But covered in Jesus, we can approach God. Now, I just wanted to share a little vision-y thing, which to me made this quite obvious. A few months ago, I was struggling and I realised that what I need to do was to draw close to God. That tends to be the only thing that works often. And so I actually decided to come over here for a few nights and pray each night just to be with God. One night when I was here, I saw myself, a younger version of me. Basically, I was wearing a dress that had lots of spots on it. So it was a dirty dress. There were spots. And I was like, oh, that's not very nice. And I knew I had to be somewhere. I had to go somewhere. And I suspected it probably meant I had to go near God. But there was just nothing in me that could move. It was like, And I was stuck. And it was this horrible, horrible picture that I had. And that's as far as I got. And I thought, okay, go home. That's great. Interesting. Didn't feel good. And the next night, I came back and I was praying again. And then I saw Jesus beside me and he took my hand. And I looked down and my dress wasn't spotty and grotty anymore. My dress was just white. It was clean. He took me by my hand and he took me to the throne room and he put me on God's lap. Now, Jesus can do that. You know, the way we are ourselves, we can't approach God. Jesus with us, covered in his righteousness, covered in his beauty, we can approach God. Yeah, that helped me understand it a bit more. Okay, so God is calling us and he's made a way for us, and that's Jesus. And I want to talk a few ideas about how we can practically draw near to God. I've got six. It's not a three-point sermon, it's a six-point sermon. It's really bad, I know, but anyway. So, how can we practically draw near to God? We can sing about it and think, well, that's what we want to do, but how do we do it? And the first thing that came to me was that we need to renew our minds with the truth of God's word. It starts there. We need to know what the word says. We need to know what God says about us and what God says to us. So we need that right picture, correct picture of Jesus, which we just talked about. We need to take on board the fact that God loves me, each of us, as me. I struggled with that for many years. You know, God so loved the world. Okay, I'm part of the world, therefore God has to put up with me. I don't know if anyone else feels like that, but that sort of thing, that you know, God's got to accept you because you're part of the big deal. But renewing of your mind is, no, God loves me. He wants my company. Dare to believe that God wants your company. That the songs are not just songs to the world, but songs to you. That God really does want to be close. And God just doesn't put up with us. He likes us. Yeah. So just letting your mind Getting your mind around the truth of God's word and how he sees you. It's a beautiful verse in Zephaniah 3, which we're not going to go to, but we did a memory verse with the kids years ago. I don't think I've got any kids big enough. Sarah might remember. If God celebrates and sings because of me, he refreshes my heart with his love, or something like that. Celebrates and sings because of me. I'm just getting that on board. That's our God, and that's how he sees us. Okay, so first one, renewing our mind with the truth of God's word. The second one I thought of was repentance. We don't want to be doing anything or having anything in our lives that blocks our relationship with God. When I just put my physio hat on for a minute, work with people who have had strokes and trying to explain to people why, after you've had a stroke, some of your body doesn't move. And the best way I've found to explain it to a client is it's like, you know, when we have in our washing water, in our water supply in Narrabri, sometimes there's muck in the pipes, you know, and every now and then it will, and it's the pressure of the water builds up onto the pipe and then onto the muck, and then the muck comes through. And it's a bit like that with our bodies. The message from our brain gets stuck somewhere with a stroke. The messages can't get through. The more, if say you're talking about an exercise, say you can't do that well, even just trying to do that, getting a little bit of that happening, every time you try and do that, the message is trying to get through. So even just thinking about it helps to start training that muscle again. But whenever there's muck in the pipes, it's not going to happen. And I think it goes the other way with us and God, that, you know, the more muck between me and Father God, then you just can't. So it's turning from our sins and turning to God. And, you know, we don't particularly like having to think about that, but that's what we need to think about, and we need to make sure that those channels are clear. The third one is worship. Now, I was going to look this up. Apparently somewhere in the Bible it says God inhabits the praises of his people. Is that right? Greg tells me I have to look in the Old King James to find it. Yeah, but it is in there somewhere. But whether it's in there or not, I think it is true, because the very act worshipping is, that's what we're doing. We're choosing to draw near to God. So as we draw near to God, the promise of James is he draws near to us. And the reality is he comes as we do draw near to him. Last Sunday night, people who were here, I'm guessing, it seemed like everybody was here with wanting to worship God, was wanting to draw near to God, and God drew near to us. So it's a very, very, in a way, easy way that we can say, well, okay, we're just going to choose, we're going to worship God, and he does come near as we do that. Personally, I've found the Jesus Culture Band has been fantastic for helping me understand just that desire of God to draw near. If I only ever listened to Jesus Culture, I would not be solid. I'm probably not anyway. But, yeah, Jesus Culture seemed to have an anointing on their music to draw people into God's presence. So if you're really struggling with it, Jesus Culture isn't bad sometimes. Okay, the next one is prayer, obviously, cultivating our relationship with God. And when we pray, it's fine to express to God, I'm desiring to draw closer to you. Please increase my hunger. Please give me a fresh passion, that type of thing. Asking God to ignite your passion for him. And just encouraging us to move from a shopping list approach of prayer to a drawing near to God. So we're not just praying for what we need and for the people around us, but we're praying because we want to draw near to God, and then the other can come from there. What I'm learning is there's a big difference in just interceding, just saying, oh yeah, I need to pray about this, versus taking the time to draw into God's presence and then interceding. It seems like it's a more powerful way to intercede, and it makes sense in a way. If God is nearer, then he's going to be hearing more. So you know that God is listening if you're close to God first, or it seems that way. I'm still working this one through. The other thing I'm working through, it seems that if you're near to God, it's a place of safety. And, I mean, Psalms talk about, you know, hiding me in the rock and the enemies will pass by and that sort of thing. And I think possibly, yeah, if we're close to God and doing warfare, my experience is if I do it that way, I get less kickback from the enemy than if I'm just wandering around telling things to go. Place of safety, close to God. Okay, up to number five. Number five I've got down is determination and discipline. Dave, had a dream about you a few weeks ago. Did you hear about my dream? You might have heard about around this. I didn't get to tell you myself. A couple of weeks ago, I had a dream, David and I, where we were meeting together really early winter's mornings, Dave, and we were praying, and we just this thing that we'd started to do, and some people were like, well, what are you guys up to? And the response was, whatever it takes. And that was the dream. And to me, that's like, yeah, that doesn't mean Dave and I need to start doing that, although we need to be open to that, I guess, Dave. But, yeah, the willingness for us to do whatever it takes to see that our relationship with God is more important than anything else and that we're going to do whatever it takes. And, yeah, that's tricky. I mean, that takes time. It might be sleep you have to give up. It might be time. It might be your energy. It might be your hobbies. Someone said to me the other day, I haven't been asked this for years, so what are your hobbies? What do you do? I was like, okay, well, when I get time, I'm probably chasing God. It makes me sound a bit crazy, doesn't it? But, yeah, and the sleep thing, like, you know, so what if we don't sleep between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock? Like, as Cliff said last week, everyone's weird. Everyone's got their own version of weird or their own version of crazy, whether they're Christian or they're not. Yeah, let's choose the God version, hey? Just, it's a bit more fun that way. All right. So there's a couple of different mindsets, I think, that we can struggle with. This is a me story, I guess, too, but maybe it works for you guys. Like, on one hand, you can say with this God stuff, there's got to be more. There's got to be more of God and more of this Christian business than what I already know. And I guess I sort of started, like when we came to know, right, it was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. But then, so sometimes you're in that sort of way, in which case you're chasing God and drawing near to him and what have you. But then there's also this other thing that comes around, and that is this is as good as it gets. That thinking that, you know, it's not worth the effort, it's not worth trying anymore. Anything more goes into the too hard basket. This is as good as it gets, let's just accept that. I don't know if anyone else spirals through that, but I do, I have. But yeah, that this is as good as it gets, this is all there is, that becomes a place of death and lifelessness, and it's not nice. It's not nice to be in that place, but there's got to be more is a much, much better place to be. And I think I'm getting to the place now where I know that there always is more and there will be more. Doesn't mean Satan doesn't have a go, of course. And so the challenge is for us, just how close can we get to God? You know? Can we get so close to God that the people around us notice the difference? That, like, in the New Testament, you know, our shadows heal people, our faces are shining, people are asking what they must do to be saved just from being around us and the way we are and the radiance of God that we're reflecting. So it's a challenge there. All right, and number 6 is probably one of the most crucial elements, I think, in drawing close to God, and that's surrender. We often only get to places of surrender through the really hard times. And it's often via the wilderness. I don't know, there's a few of us that have been in the wilderness doing laps in the desert. It's not fun. The times when you just feel like God's absent without leave, like he's just not there and you're trying to pray and there's just nothing happening and it's just really hard. But I think it's often via the wilderness that we come to that place of that real deep surrender of whatever, God, it's all yours. You know, just take it. And that dying to yourself, just getting to that place, yeah. So if you're in the wilderness, I think the most important thing is don't curl up and die. Some point I was going through a stage where it seemed like all I could pray was, I'd think, I've got to pray. This is what you do, you pray. And I'd sit there and I'd think, I don't know what to pray. And then the only thing that would come out for a while is, Father, be glorified. And that was all I could pray. But you know what? He honours those prayers. And you can look back and you can think, okay, he was there and da-da-da-da. So just don't curl up and die in the wilderness. Just keep walking and God will bring you out of it. Okay, we're just going to look at Romans chapter 12, 1-3. It's my last Bible verse. This has become a treasure for me, this little passage. It's really helped me with the whole understanding of surrendering to God. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the type he will accept. When you think of what he's done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. And we know we've talked about this passage quite a bit. Romans 12, 1-3, yeah. And this idea of living sacrifices, we're living sacrifices. The problem of being a living sacrifice is we can keep crawling off that altar. So time and time again, we need to be choosing to crawl back onto that altar and say, it's all yours, it's not about me, dying to myself. And just find that, you know, if that's a common sort of prayer, a common way that you need to come before God, so be it. God honors that. It's like, this is what I want, God. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you. And then we were in James 4, it was talking about humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And I think it's the same. It's just talking about the same thing. The more we surrender, the more we draw close to God, God comes close to us. So I don't want to get into this, but, you know, what actually happens when God comes near? And I think it's different for different people. There's always a sense of a deep, deep knowing that God is close to you. So it's not just mind games. It's not just your mind saying, yeah, God's in the house, but it's really knowing that God is close. And there often will be a physicality about it. So there might be something you can sense or see or feel. The thing about, you know, I hear people say something like, oh, you know what, we don't need to chase God's presence because God's always with us. And he is always with us. And as Keith said last week, his Holy Spirit is within us and it's about letting the Spirit out. I just thought of an analogy. I don't know if it helps. It helped me a little bit. I'm not really into analogies. So I'm probably not going to explain it very well. But if you can imagine that your spirit or your heart or your you is a room, okay, now just say, Sarah, can you go up to the kitchen for me for a minute, please? It's all right, I'm just using you as an object. That's what daughters do. Okay, so Sarah's heading up to the kitchen in a typical 15-year-old manner. Okay, so Sarah's going to be God for a sec. All right, so God is up there and I'm here. And so this is, I'll talk about it as being my heart, but it could be anyone's heart. Okay, so I know that God is in my heart. Sarah's here. I can see, you know, she's there. Yep, she's here. But, Sarah, come here. Sarah's over there. There's not going to be a lot of relating going on in a very close way. And if there's a lot of other things happening, it wouldn't be all that easy to hear Sarah and to know what she was on about. And it'd be hard to develop a good relationship with Sarah if she's over there. Even though I know she's here, it would be hard. Sarah, come here, please, doll. Okay. Right. Whereas, if Sarah comes beside me, she's close to me. I can feel her. I can see her. I can talk with her. She can talk with me.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. You know, we can relate. We can have a relationship because we're here and we're close. Yeah? Okay. Whereas if she was up there all the time, I'd know she's around, but I wouldn't have that close relationship. And you could take it a little bit further with that, you know, God can be in our heart. You can sit down, Nada. He is in our heart, and he might be over there a bit, but he's saying, you know, Tanya, come closer. Tanya, come closer. He's wooing. You're hearing. He's wooing. But then what the scriptures say is it's then up to us. Do we choose to start to step a bit closer? And then as we do, God comes to us. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but God is incredibly near. And I really do think that every little step we take toward God, God just leaps towards us. But it's in our court, like he's there calling us, and it's how we respond. And I do believe that God is desiring to break through with his love and with his kingdom in our lives and in this church, in this community. Last picture, I'm just about done. Picture God gave me a while ago. Whereas, you know how sometimes at the footy or at those sort of big gala events, there can be a paper screen and the team charges through the paper screen? Yeah? So the screen's up. You're not really sure when someone's going to come through, but at some point, and they're there. I think God's a bit like that. I think God is just, you know, God and his kingdom and that greater awareness of him being close. It's that close. He's right there behind that paper screen. And at any moment, he could burst through and his kingdom could be here in an incredibly manifest way. I tried really hard not to mention India yet. I'm only going to mention it once. Here it comes. In India, that's what God did. In India, God burst through the paper screen and the kingdom manifestations there were healings and salvations. But why not here? You know, it's the same thing. Why not in us? You know, we're normal people like everyone else. God only uses normal people. And why not through us? And it all starts with intimacy and the promise of God that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So it's sort of in our court, whether just how much we're going to chase that, I guess. And that's about it. So I might pray. Feel free to pray. Okay. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. And I thank you for your spirit. And I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. And I thank you for your heart. And your heart is that you are so desiring to be close to us and that you're calling us close to you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you love each of us. Father God, we just come before you now and we choose to present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. We choose to get back onto that altar and to say it's not about us and it's all about you. And we choose to die to ourselves once again, believing that your life through us is such a greater, it's the real life, it's the great adventure. And yeah, when it's about us, it's not really being alive, Father. So we just ask you to have your way in us, to breathe your life into us, and change us into the people you've always meant us to be so that we can be faithful witnesses in this town, that we can be living testimonies of just how you can take normal, grotty people and you can make them into something beautiful and something useful in your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Sue. Okay, this week's quick quiz. What were the six ways that we can enter into the presence of God? Repent, worship. What was number one? Surrender. That was number six. Renew your mind, okay. We've got two more to go. Determination. One more. Worship, we mentioned. Prayer, was it? Was that? Yep, okay. Cool, okay. And any of those things will draw you closer to God. The Celtic Christians talk about thin places, and that the idea is there are places where the boundary between heaven and earth is really, really thin. In other words, where God is particularly able to be accessed. But in my experience, every place has that potential of being a thin place because the barriers are in our hearts. They're not in a location so much. It's what we choose to make a holy place. And, you know, this is a holy place if we choose to make it a holy place. But, you know, your backyard dunny might be a holy place for you. Or, you know, your family room, whatever. But let's take that time and effort to find out the thin places that God has given us and encounter him. You know, step through that screen to the other side, because we can do it as much as waiting for God to burst through too. And let's experience the power of the living God. Okay, our last song, you'll be pleased to know.